Hey everybody, would you like to bear fruit in your life? I'm not talking about bearing oranges and apples. No, I'm talking about, do you want your life to be meaningful, impactful? Do you want your life to be counted for something greater than what you do on this earth? I'm talking about what you do today is that making an impact, a lasting impact, both in this life and into eternity. You may be a bus driver, a mechanic, nurse, teacher, student. No matter what your occupation may be, if you want to bear fruit in your life, if you want to leave a legacy and have your life counted for something greater, then you need a vocation. Not simply an occupation, but a vocation. A vocation is something that has been defined by Jesus Christ. Now, this is not only your aspiration and your challenge. I wonder if the followers of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, if they were experiencing a similar thing. As in, we're talking about when you consider the disciples of Jesus, the 12, they were fishermen, tax collectors, a bunch of high school dropouts. They weren't educated. They had no influence in their lives. And I wonder if they were asking a similar question. I want my life to be counted. I want to be fruitful. But how do I do that? How do I get there? So I want to take you to John chapter 15. But before I do that, a couple of instructional guidelines. When you are reading a passage in the Bible, and when you come across a repetition, then pay attention. Let me repeat that. No pun intended. When you come across repetition, pay attention. Because oftentimes, the Bible writers, they're emphasizing the key thoughts and key points via repetition. And on that note, you may hit the pause button here and go to the resources tab on our website, and you can download the sermon notes, because when you follow along and fill in the blanks, it really helps you retain the content. Okay? At the same time, listening to a message, something like this, or engaging yourself to the hearing, the preaching of the words of Jesus, it's called worship. That's right. It's an act of worship. And friends, did you know worship was never meant to be a spectatorial? It was always meant to be participatory. You and I, we participate in worship. We don't just spectate and watch. No, it's like this. Today is the Super Bowl Sunday, as you know. Maybe you don't. Jesus does not want you to remain in the stands. He wants you to get on the field and play. That's participatory. Sitting in the stands is spectatorial. So again, let us engage. Did you know Jesus' favorite sport? It's not football, it's baseball. You say, huh? How do you get that? Because in the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Let's go there. To the text. John 15, verses 5 through 8. Here's the context. Jesus came to earth, according to the book of John. He began his ministry, teaching, healing, performing, setting people free. And then he really focused on preparing his disciples, and I'll define that word for you in a minute. He focused on preparing his followers to continue his work on earth. Come to the 15th chapter in the book of John, Jesus knowing that his hour has come. He is about to be crucified and put to death. And he gives these words. So these are really weighty, important words. Listen, look for keywords like remain, fruit. Okay? So let's go there. Hear the word of the Lord. John 15, verse 5. In fact, I almost forgot. Let's participate together. Why don't we? Would you please read along together with me? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you catch those key words? Remain, bearing fruit, right? Okay, so here's the big idea. The theme and the goal of this message is as follows. Remain in Jesus and you will bear much fruit. Remain, stay, dwell, abide in with Jesus. Then what's his promise? His promise is you will bear much, much, much fruit. So let's unpack this. You will be looking at a photo of a vine. Do you see it? You see the vine, the trunk, and from the vine, you see the branches that are spreading. And at the ends of the branches, we see the fruit. In this case, grapes, right? Now, the idea is this. Jesus is using a metaphor or an analogy, an illustration. The vine, that's the main thing. That's the main thing that bears everything else. The vine soaks up the water, the minerals, and the nutrients from the ground, right? And the vine sends all those good stuff to where? To the branches. And as long as the branches are remaining attached, abiding with the vine, what's going to happen? What is the result? What is the end game? That's right. The branches will bear fruit. Much fruit. Much, much fruit. And that's Jesus' instructions. Imperative. Remain in me. And you will, here's the promise. The result is you will bear much fruit. Remain in Jesus and you will bear much fruit. So let's talk about the idea, the understanding of the instruction and the imperative, remain in me, says Jesus. You know that word, remain? It's one of John's favorite words. That word in the Greek language, that word appears in the book of John more than anywhere else in the entire Bible. John loves to use this concept and this understanding. It means remain. It can also mean to abide, or dwell, or stay. So let me give you a few examples how John used this word. John chapter 1, when Jesus was baptized, heaven was opened, and the dove, the Holy Spirit, came down, and the Holy Spirit, what? Remained on Jesus. It's the same word. Again, John chapter 1, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked him, Rabbi, which means teacher, I will say more about that too. Rabbi, where are you staying? That word is the same word, to remain, to abide, to stay. Now, here is where it gets really interesting. In John chapter 6, Jesus began saying, I am the bread from heaven, I am the living bread, right? Okay, and it says, whoever eats this bread remains in me, whoever drinks my blood, referring to the Lord's Supper, the wine, then that person remains in me and I remain in him. My blood, my bread remain, my flesh remain in him. That's right. Jesus is remaining in you, literally, spiritually, metaphorically. So that's what it means, to remain, okay? I think better illustration is this, to dwell, to live together. So here's what it means that Jesus is remaining in you and you in him. Is the person of Jesus living in you, living with you? Is the person of Jesus living in you and with you? In my closet, in my walk-in closet, you will find items like old sweaters, family photo albums, or my set of binoculars. Those items, I don't always use them. I just take them out whenever I need them, right? It's cold, take off the old sweater. Oh, I'm going camping, let's take the binoculars. Oh, I'm feeling sentimental. Well, let's open those family photo albums. However, when Jesus says, remain in me, he's talking about, let me live with you. Constantly, always. Here's a question for you. Do you keep Jesus in the closet? Do you make Jesus a closet case? Or do you live with Jesus in every room of your house? In the kitchen, good morning, Jesus. Lord Jesus, how are you? Is Jesus in the garage when you go to the car? Is Jesus in the kitchen, in the dining room? See, that is the idea. Remain in me. Let me live with you. Let me permeate all that you are and all that you do. It's the person of Jesus remaining in you. And when that happens, you will bear, what? Much fruit. And I think that's one of our problems, don't you think? So many people that you know, they keep Jesus in the closet. They only go to the closet and take Jesus out whenever they need him. That's not the idea of remaining, having Jesus remain in you. Is the person of Jesus, do you take Jesus everywhere you go? Or better yet, do you follow Jesus everywhere he goes? Is the person of Jesus living in you? Another idea is this. He says, my words, if my words remain in you, then you will bear much fruit. The words, the English translation, words, comes from the Greek word rhema. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, the Bible writers use two different Greek words for the English word word. One is logos, which is more well-known word. The other one is rhema. Logos appears in John chapter 1. In the beginning, there was the word, logos. Logos means the absolute, objective truth of God that is revealed in the written word. And God's logos, his word, is always constant, transcending time, place, and people. The rhema has a different nuance. Rhema is referring to the objective logos, word of God, becomes a spoken word to you. It's personal. It's immediate. It has a visceral connotation. May I give you an example? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is logos, true. God's objective truth revealed in his written word, true, transcending time, place, and people. However, when this becomes rhema, it becomes personal to you. It's as if Jesus saying to you now, listen, I love you and I die for you. I don't want you to perish. I want you to live a full life, fruitful life, eternal life with me. That becomes rhema. So it's the spoken word. So I think this is what it means when Jesus says, if my words, my rhema is living in you, remaining in you, then you will what? Bear much fruit. Each day you hear the spoken words of Jesus. You hear his voice through the objective truth of the logos, the written word of God. And when you hear the spoken words of Jesus, it becomes personal, experiential, real, and you act upon it. You act upon it. So that's what it means, I believe. So is the person of Jesus living in you? And second, is the word, the rhema of Jesus living in you? If they are, then the promise and the result is what? You will bear much fruit. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What a promise. What a promise. I'll refer back to that later on. Once again, the theme and the goal. Remain in Jesus and you will bear much fruit, much fruit. What is Jesus referring to when he says fruit? We already established that he's not talking about apples and oranges. He's talking about something else. Here's the clue. Verse 8. Let me read it. Let's read it together. Let's participate together. Okay? You will see the verse up on the screen. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. My disciples. What's a disciple? You can't talk about disciple apart from rabbi. Well, what's a rabbi? We are not all that familiar with these two terms, are we? These are really rich Hebraic understanding. So allow me to take you there. A rabbi is often translated into the English word teacher, but that does not do justice. Disciples often is translated into the English word of followers. That still doesn't do justice. So this is what it means. Rabbi is someone who obtains the logos of God's word and the spoken word of God's word. Rabbi is an agent of the kingdom of Jesus. A disciple is someone who becomes like the rabbi in his inner being and doing. A disciple is someone who becomes like the rabbi in being and doing. When you follow Jesus as his disciple because he's calling you as his rabbi, you are becoming in your character like the character of Jesus, his inner character. What's he like? Compassionate, kind, full of grace, and full of truth. But a disciple of Christ doesn't stop there. It's more than just being. It's also what? Doing. Christ says, my disciples will do that which I began doing, and they will do even greater things. Which comes down to this idea. The fruit Jesus is talking about is making disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? The whole ministry of Jesus Christ can be summed up in one phrase. Making disciples? Who make disciples? Who make disciples? His entire ministry, which lasts only 4 years or so, he really focused on, yes, he taught the crowds and the multitudes, but he really focused on the inner circle, the disciples, the 12. Yes, he proclaimed the kingdom of God to everybody, but more specifically, he really invested his time teaching and empowering whom? His disciples, so that they may continue on that which he began doing. A disciple is someone who is like Christ in being and doing. So let's remind ourselves, remain in Jesus and you will bear much fruit. You will make disciples who become like Jesus in their characters, but also in their doing, both being and doing. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Friends, Jesus says, if branches do not remain in me, they will be withered and they will be thrown into the fire and they will be burned. He's not talking about salvation, because salvation is grace. It is given to you as a gift by the generous acts of Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His sacrifice. So your salvation does not depend on what you do. However, look at here. Jesus says, if you bear fruit, you are showing that you are my disciples. Let me put it this way. If you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, then you will be characterized as somebody, as a man and a woman, who bears fruit. And what's the fruit? Making disciples. So when you make disciples, when you bear much fruit, it's a sign and a proof. It's a proof, evidence that you have received the grace of Christ and you are following Him. Now, I need to credit Dan Spader. He has written, authored a book called Four Chairs of Discipleship. And we're going to go through those four chairs throughout the series. Check this out. First chair, seeker. Second chair, believer. Third chair, worker. Fourth chair, multiplier. And we find the descriptions of how Jesus made disciples of the people in his days in all four chairs. Chair one, seeker. Christ says, come and see. The seeker is someone who is being drawn to Jesus because the Holy Spirit is working in his, her heart. A seeker is someone who is being intrigued by the person of Jesus. And Jesus says, come and see, the believer. From the seeker chair to the second chair, the believer, that person in the power of the Holy Spirit says, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, and that person becomes the believer. To the believer, Jesus says, come and believe. Believe that I am sent from the Father. Believe that I am who I say I am, your Lord and your Savior. The seeker, the believer, and third chair, the worker. Christ says, come and work. I will make you fishers of men. Come and work. So in the chair two, the believer is someone who is growing in her faith, in the knowledge of the scripture, prayer. And as the person matures, the chair three, the worker, that person begins to serve others, lead ministries, and prays for the neighbors. This person engages in the work of Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants you not just remain there, but go to the chair four. And what's chair four? The multiplier. Christ says, you will bear much fruit. Jesus wants you to be a fruit-bearing fruit. Did you catch that? He wants you to be fruit-bearing fruit. He wants you to multiply His disciples. So for the remaining of the series, that is what we are going to unpack. Question for you. As of today, of the four chairs, in which one of the four are you sitting in? Is it the seeker, the believer, the worker, or the multiplier? You are here because the Lord Jesus has brought you here. And friends, it doesn't matter. You don't have to feel inferior because you are only chair one or chair two. No. It's a wonderful journey. It's a progress. It doesn't matter which chair you are sitting in. What does matter, what Jesus wants you to do, is keep growing, maturing, so that you end up in chair four. And even if you are in chair four, that's not the end of the journey. You continue on. You bear fruit that bears fruit. You are becoming a multiplier. Can I make a confession? And as such, it stays here, right? Just between us. For the longest time, in the ministry to which Christ called me, guess which chairs that I focused on? Chair one, two, and three. I never got to chair four. And Jesus rebuked me. The Lord said, Victor, why aren't you training the people that I sent your way? Why don't you disciple them all the way so that they become multipliers. You know what my response was? Lord Jesus, it's a higher standard. And I don't know if they can do it. I'm going to have lots of pushback. And Christ rebuked me once more. He says, don't you, Victor, don't you rob them of the adventure into which I am inviting them to join me. I want them to be multipliers. So I repented and said, Lord Jesus, I'm being held accountable. So I'm going to stop all that. I am going to, for the rest of my life, invest my energy and effort to move people in the power of the Holy Spirit from chair 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of you are saying, well, I feel guilty. I feel guilty that I'm not doing these endeavors. I'm not bearing fruit. I feel guilty. Friends, that guilt is not from the Lord Jesus. Remember, maybe you're feeling guilty because you're trying to do this on your own, in your own power. It's about you, and you feel disqualified, unprepared. Listen to Christ. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Do it in the person of Jesus. You remain in him. Do it in the rhema words of Jesus Christ, which lives in you. And Christ says, whatever you ask in my name, it will be given. I will give that to you. So we are going to, for the next 5 weeks, focus on in his shoes, Jesus' shoes, 40 days of making disciples. Okay? We are going to also utilize 3 alignments. We're going to synchronize the Sunday worship teaching like today. And then starting tomorrow, Monday, every day, you get to receive the daily devotion. And you can receive that by subscribing to the Soul Food. Go to the Resources tab and you can subscribe to the Soul Food so that you may bear fruit each day, every day. Third alignment is weekly house churches. Not only do we do it in this big arena, not only do we do it in our own individual private settings, daily devotion, but we do it together in house churches. There's power, there's camaraderie, and there's momentum. You can also go to the Resources tab and find how to join a house church. Friends, let's come to the conclusion. It is in the will of Jesus, the Lord Christ himself. He wants you to remain in him. And the promise is what? You will bear much, much, much fruit. You want this for your life. I want this for my life. And others, the people that you disciple, lead people to Jesus through these 4 chairs, they will thank you for eternity. But there's a better reason. In the words of Jesus, this is to the Father's glory. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for the encouragement, inspiration, and at the same time, the challenge. We will abide in you, remain in you. And by your grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will bear much fruit in and through us. Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, amen.